Here we go.
Applause.
What's up, boys?
Another fresh new week.
We're cracking open a new week,
and this is going to be the last episode ever.
What?
April Fools. How funny is that?
Dude, you tricked me.
It's the third.
How funny is that? Isn't that the least funny thing you can do?
Gotcha.
I hated that.
I'm surprised it's still going.
All Saturday, I'm just looking through Twitter, checking out all the new news, and then you wake up and you realize oh, wait a minute.
This is all dog shit.
You're making me look like an idiot. And I'm reacting to it, too. I'm doing full, 240 character Twitter posts. Oh,
you're like, oh,
goodness.
Mourinho's going to coach Portugal now. You're like,
fuck that shit, man.
Fake news.
But the worst is when
gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
And Jack.
You got to broaden your minds.
Jack got the best of you.
Can I get a drink?
Yeah. Crack that pork.
Help yourself.
Block the wind.
For me, very impressive. We have top players.
Portugal.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the Portugal Corner of the podcast, where we talk about all things Portuguese soccer, the good, the bad, and the funny. This is episode 103. I am Evan.
Patrick.
And not the last episode, Justin.
And Chris.
And I was just going to say, before I was so rudely interrupted by Prince and the Revolution...
And Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
I'm working
especially
on my Jack Nicholson.
Especially that. What sucks the most is when someone actually drops some real news on you and you don't know what to believe. They literally renovoed Schmidt on that Saturday. And you're like, I don't know if, is this real or is this not real?
Well, the official Benfica account wouldn't joke about that.
I don't know because the
who's
way,
running it?
The way these accounts work nowadays is they try and get, what do they call it?
The youth.
They're trends. Jumping on the trends.
Engagement. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. Did Schmidt renovo or did he not renovo? Don't do it on fucking April 1st.
Yeah, I hate to admit this on the pod. What's a renovo? What does that mean?
Renewed his contract.
Oh, okay.
They said, we're giving you more years because you're killing it and probably a big buyout clause, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Big buyout clause, so if someone wants to take him, and obviously, if you're going to sign that, you're making more money now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're all
happy.
Well,
he deserves it.
Of course.
Hey, let's get through the year. We'll talk about deals after, right? April 1st.
We want to work the deals.
Doing deals?
Okay,
I think the April,
okay, Logan.
The April Fool's joke would be if they renovoed Musa.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody wants that.
That'd be funny.
And jokes, he's out of here.
A lot of fun that day. And else, you guys doing good? Having fun? Have a good weekend?
I'm good.
I think you guys had a really good weekend out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hell yeah.
Just like all Portuguese people like to go visit the desert.
The desert.
It was beautiful.
It was fun, man.
I got a little tan coming back, played some golf.
Saw the mountains.
Yeah.
Saw the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Dude, wild time.
Good game?
Great
really,
game.
Yeah, really good game.
The Jokic didn't play. That was my one.
Neither
game.
Did Murray. Yeah. It's kind of sad, but...
They're resting them because they clinched. They clinched.
Mm-hmm. But all in all, still fun, dude. The entrance to that stadium, the Footprint Center, amazing bar out there, man.
Wait, what's the name of their stadium?
The Footprint Center.
Footprint Center, dude.
You know what else is crazy? I feel like Portugal's the only country that's just hanging on to, this is our stadium, this is the name of it, we're not adding some bullshit in front of it.
You know? Sponsoring the stadium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Stadium Dragão. Stade de Luz.
I think once you lose that, the game's gone. You can't lose that. That's so important. I mean, mm-hmm. Camp Nou... Santiago Bernabéu.
Oh, I think the Camp Nou is the Spotify center now.
Well, but everyone still knows what it's really called. It's it's a very much Skydome Rogers Center situation where if you're from the town, you really know what it's called. You know. That being said, we'll get to it later, but Napoli just renamed their place. Used to be after, I guess, an old manager, I think it was. I don't know, maybe someone founded the club. Now Diego Maradona was their best player of all time. So they're still using the player thing. They're not making no money off of
that. But that's cool, as long as it's not a corporation. Yeah. Right?
Well, that's what we're saying. It should never be a corporation. If you're going to have some heart and soul, you know, it should never be a corporation.
Yeah, no. I think that was the point. Was that, like, if you're going to change it something cool, something like worth it, something comes from the heart. If you're changing it based on corporations, you're selling out, literally. Mm-hmm. And nobody likes that.
Selling out? Hell no.
Yeah. Almost like the fucking Leafs played. Used to be the ACC. At least you could abbreviate that and sound cool. Now it's the fucking Scotia Bank Center.
Like, I still call it ACC. Just three letters. Yeah. What does that mean?
I still call it the Maple Leaf Garden
Center.
We're going to the gardens, baby.
I still call it the Maple Leaf Gardens. I show up every day at Carlton and fucking church. And they don't let you in. No, I go to that grocery store, try and watch the game, and they don't let me. It's fucking nuts.
They don't put it on the screens.
No.
All right, let's get into the football, man. The Alva lad was bumping on Saturday. Paulinho gets the party started in the 14th minute with a header off of Pedro Gonzalez free kick into the box. Horrible Santa Clara giveaway gives an opportunity right to Marcus Edwards, who finds Trincão to coolly slot at home, and then Edwards' early generosity is rewarded when Paulinho finds him after an equally terrible giveaway. He smashes it into the net. That was a nasty goal.
That was definitely an in-the-box blast.
In-the-box blast? Yeah. Dude, Santa Clara falling off. Sporting, still, they've been crushing. I feel like they scored a lot of goals in their past couple games.
Sporting played well. The game was primed for them to have a party. They started off well with the Frank Sinatra. I mean, it was a raucous rendition.
It's beautiful when you see that.
14 minutes in, Pedro Gonzalez put in a great ball. I can't stress out enough how much his delivery helped this cross. And then Paulinho just kind of bounces it, boinks it off some other guy's head and into the net, and it eventually falls in. Cue the Freed from Desire. Great tune to start off the party.
It's become a big football song.
Oh yeah, they were going off too.
It's easy to It's
fun.
Yeah. That's a fun one. So they go off as they should. And from there it was just more party because Santa Clara could not string passes together.
Yeah, that's what this Santa Clara team has been doing. Just they can't play.
What is happening to the Island boys, man?
They couldn't hold the ball. They couldn't get it out of their end. As shown by the second goal, just trying to make a crazy crossfield pass. Marcus Edwards just picks it up, passes it. He's got that perfect, you know, that kind of perfect three-on-two scenario where, like, your guy's, like, the center attacking mid. He's got two strikers he could possibly pass it to.
Well, that's what you love.
It's just easy.
It's a real Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
You're right. That's which one side you got Meryl Streep, and the other side you got another actor from Sophie's Choice. Right. I don't know how that movie works. Well, I've never seen it.
That's the best thing you can wish for on an attack, right? Options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You got to feel it out. Wait a bit.
So after that, it was just easy for them. And then, second goal, they switched to Chelsea Dagger, interestingly enough.
They love that song.
That's a classic over there.
I think that's their classic. Yeah.
Same reaction. Still gets a good reaction. Still a big party, you know, so everyone's having fun. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. But it's a different vibe. You're getting more rock and roll.
Do you think that they do it like they have a song for the first goal? Different song, second goal, different song, third
Freed
goal.
Freed from Desire is probably the first goal.
This is what I was expecting, Chris. So then the third goal happens.
What happens now?
Now, Paulinho picks off a pass deep in Santa Clara territory. He finds Marcus Edwards. He does a little move, a little jink. He's got a freaking full-ass net.
Bam.
Bangs it top corner. Chelsea Dagger again.
Ooh.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
They went back to Chelsea Dagger.
Freed from Desire is the first one to get them going.
And then
they ride Chelsea Dagger.
maybe the DJ, the stadium DJ, was like, you know what? I think they could do it better. Now that goal was so big, I don't want to hear them do it now.
Maybe he flubbed it. And he was like, he wasn't expecting them to score a third. He panicked. He was like, same one.
Maybe. Who knows?
Chris, what would you play if you were the stadium DJ?
Whoa. Don't put me on that. Come on. I'm blasting that, dude.
I think they got a good thing going.
I like, you know what? Call me Jeezy, but I like when they do the rock songs. Like, Seven Nation Army's good, but that's kind of a hype-up song.
I do Dancing on My Own, Robin. That's my go-to. Dancing on My Own by Robin.
You just start a rave.
So then that goes down. Easy win. Wrapped up. Ruben Amorim, he knows he's at home. We're coming to the last part of the season. Kwatch did not play. He was not captain. He throws on Luis Neto, who came back from injury. Gives him a run out.
He gets the armband.
He gets the armband immediately from Adan.
They respect him a lot.
Really?
I think I heard Ruben Amorim would be down to re-sign him for the next season, too.
Wow.
Who?
Neto.
Whoa.
Inda.
He likes the veteran presence.
He said two interesting things with Neto, because he was the one who was interviewed after the game, after this easy, simple game for Sporting. He said, this is my home, in Mikasa. And then he said, we have the best defenders in the league. Now,
I really like Ignacio.
First one we cannot disagree with. It is his home. Absolutely. Are they the best defenders in the league? Statistically, no. Benfica has the best defenders in the league.
Center backs or wingers?
All together. The whole group.
All together.
I guess mainly center backs.
Group told.
They have really good ones. Coates, great. Ignacio. This Diamande guy they have now. Is amazing.
Jerry St. Just.
Mateus Rij and St. Just. Yeah. So I think his argument is not...
Just, yes.
You know, it's not completely bunk.
If they still had Poro, that would definitely put them over the edge.
Do you definitely think that they have a better group than Porto?
Porto's...
Because you can't statistically... Defenders. You cannot say they have a better group than Benfica because it's just not true.
You could say that.
Porto center back wise, especially wing back wise, we're in turmoil right now. Zanussi's okay. He's not the best. João Mario's good. He's been getting injured a lot. We have no backup for him. Pep on and off with injury. When he's there, he's still great. Marcano he's fine. He scores a lot. But I don't know. I don't want to rely on him. And then our backups, Cardozo scored this week, but overall, he's not like our main guy. And then Carmo. Who Conte Sound this week actually like backed him up and said that he will have a great career in Portugal for in both the league and probably for the national team. He backed Carmo to like
What did he say for Porto?
He said to have a great career for like within Portugal
in the Portuguese league.
That's a little dodgy.
I don't know the quote exactly. He might have said for Porto.
I think he'll give him more minutes. He'll ease him in.
Yeah,
Conte Sound takes a while to get guys in. He doesn't give him minutes right away.
Yeah, and the club spent $20 million on him, man. Like, they're not going to give up on him. They're going to give him a chance.
Yeah, he'll get another chance for sure.
He's not going to be our Mbula again.
All right, and then I guess the final...
He did the eyebrows. I did it back to him.
Chris doesn't know who Mbula is. Some French midfielder we bought for a lot of money, and he tanked quickly.
And then the final point for this game is that... So there's a mascot in Sporting named Jubas. Almost like Judas. Why would you call him something so close to Judas?
I don't know. Does Jubas mean something?
I don't know what Jubas is, but he is the lion, the little lion. And apparently someone kicked the shit out of him. I don't know what happened.
They beat him up.
Jubas got assaulted.
And I don't even know if it's...
No, he got assaulted by a Benfica fan.
Apparently.
Who infiltrated the stadium.
Just specifically to kick the crap out of
Jubas.
The out of sole Jubas. Now, I don't know what Jubas did.
It was a covert operation.
I don't know what Jubas did to this guy. And I don't even know if we should be laughing at this, how badly, like, did he kick the crap out of
is
this?
Is he injured? Look how much padding there
right,
is.
Like, I don't know. No, like, should we be laughing about this or not?
It was
like,
probably
I don't
just
know.
An assault. I'm sure he's fine.
It was probably just an assault.
Like, you got... clocked or something. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, assaults are not that serious nowadays.
Whoa.
Especially if you have a giant suit on you.
I know.
Dude, it's...
You hit him in the head? Oh, that giant head that's not even your head.
Dude, if I hit somebody like that, I'm going to use you as an example for Justin. If I go like this, that's assault. He can sue me for assault.
Yeah.
Charge me for assault. You know what I'm saying? So... Just because it goes in the papers and says, it doesn't mean it's
you're trying
bad.
To play down this assault. Me too. This
I'm
Benfica fan was in the right.
Yeah.
No, I condemn any violence against Jubas. Especially from a Benfica fan. Come on, man. We don't claim you. Like, yeah, don't do this.
I'm not condoning assault. I'm just saying, just because it said assault.
It's a bit too much. Like, wait, I mean, and just because, okay, yeah, it's you, Buzz, whatever, but you would never harm the beaver, the Pasifurada beaver.
Okay,
like,
if there's any, if there's
we
any,
love all mascots in the
if
Portuguese
there's any league. Mascot that deserves a beating, who is it?
What? Those two kids that Porto has.
No, they're dragons. No, it's the league Jimmy Neutron guy.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
That guy kind of sucks.
I'd like to.
Why is he Jimmy Neutron?
They just stole Jimmy Neutron. Like, the Benfica that's our mascot.
The Benfica Eagle reminds me tremendously of, you know, the part at the end of Ace Ventura where he starts beating up the Philadelphia Eagle guy? I love that part in that movie, and the Benfica Eagle reminds me of that a lot. Yeah. So I'd like to see Jim Carrey give it to him.
Yeah.
You can't beat up that eagle. He's so buff.
I know.
Those muscles.
He's asking for it.
Portimonense.
He'll start bring it on.
Yeah.
Portimonense has that weird, ugly condor. That guy looks like he's ready for a beating. And Porto generally does give them a beating. And this week, a wounded Porto hosts their whipping boys, Portimonense, and the result is the same as it ever was. 1-0 to the evil empire when Fabio Cardozo rises to a Wendell cross to seal the win.
I just wanted to say, so Chris and Evan went to Phoenix this weekend, so I had to write the whole podcast. So if you hear these crazy things about Porto and like some maybe things about how they're the evil umpire, that's because I was the one who
took
did
the
that.
Reins.
That would
week.
Be me,
Benfiquista Justin. Yeah,
yeah. But hey, you couldn't stop Porto winning this game, baby. Cardozo, the Benfiquista at heart. Yeah, dude, this is crazy. I swear, last year we beat them 7-0.
Yeah, people always say like Portimonense like folds for Porto. I think Portimonense likes hearing that, and they probably like would fight harder in this game.
Dude, Nakamura folds for no one.
Couldn't tell.
They defended well. They held them off.
Made some great saves.
Well,
Nakamura was a good keeper.
Coming into this game, Patrick had some opinions, and he believed that, based off what I said, the wounded Porto, they're missing a few key guys. Mm-hmm. And
Diogo Costa was out. Diogo Costa Pep's out. Still out. They couldn't play for the national team.
Patrick mm-hmm. said this might have been the time.
And they were starting Wendell. You hate Wendell.
He's whatever. Him and Zanussi, both of them are just whatever. I would prefer Zanussi, but like, you know, if Wendell's there, he's done good things. But
this team looks garbage, and somehow they still win.
They have the fight. They have the Guerra. They are Porto, man.
Porto yeah, yeah. Guerra.
They have nothing going forward. I watched this entire game. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Did that red card look justified?
It was two yellows.
Yeah, no, that was fine. I have no complaints about that. I'm not going to...
The man had anger issues.
Yeah, I'm not going to be mad about that.
He hit Wendell.
There were some other calls here and there, but again, it's the same thing. Like, we're not the type to get too caught up on calls, and it was the same kind of calls that Benfica got in their game. So, you know, I'm not going to be fucking crying about that call.
You're not going to Saint Juice the fight.
Well, what about the call where they took away the Porto goal?
Well, you're actually for that call. You actually
I didn't think
that
it was that crazy
goal.
Of a foul. Like, it wasn't even that bad. You barely touched them.
I agree with you, Patrick.
It was at the halfway line, but they went right away to the net after that.
Benfiquista said it should have been a second goal for Porto. Yeah. Dude, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Dude, when you're looking down the field 10 minutes ago for something that happened.
It wasn't 10 minutes ago. Yeah. It was the same phase of play. Yeah, it was the same phase of play. The goal kick comes out. Guy fouls him. Porto gets the ball back, and then they go back
okay,
the other way.
I have a question. Do you think that defender could have ran back and stopped the play of happening?
No, because he got fouled by the Porto player.
I'm saying, like, even if that guy didn't stop him, like, he was just, like, kind of running by him. They had a little brush up and then ran past.
It's not a goal. I think it was so tight that was in the same phase of play that it shouldn't be a goal.
So, and if he didn't knock him down, it probably would have been a foul the other way. He would have had to foul the Porto player.
Yeah, someone would have fouled him. Yeah, something like that. But that being said, we won't get too hung up on the foul or things like that, but yeah, Portimonense was not going to create anything.
I thought they could have tied it.
They could
have, but they weren't offensively. They weren't good enough. If they could send some balls in, some striker could get a run in.
Until
and
it's
on Claudio Ramos.
Until
so it's not their first goalie.
Until they got the red card, and then it totally changed. But there was a chance at the end where Portimonense got a corner. 1 minute after the allotted time, and then Sergio Conceição, and they complained about it. But there was, injuries and some things that happen in the extra lot of time. And
oh, yeah, it always goes over.
Yeah, so the Porto people were, like, so complaining that, oh, my God, they gave him this extra corner, this last phase of play, and I'm waiting until the end because this could change the whole league. If that header, if there was a header that went in or something like that, you know?
Can I sum it up real quick? That was Porto Mendes' best opportunity at that point in the season to get a win off Porto, and they flubbed it.
Or a draw.
Or a draw, at least.
It was a draw. It was a win for them.
It was a draw. Yeah.
To get a point. Yeah. Sorry.
Probably would have been their first point against Porto in the last 10 years.
Exactly. That was their best opportunity, and they blew it. They couldn't put anything together.
Nino made that point. We watched this game with Nino on Go TV.
Nino. I got to love the Nino.
They've never gotten a point at Dragão.
They've apparently never got a point at the Dragão. That's what Nino said. And then as the game was playing, Nino said, and I give them a 0% chance today. He counted them out. I think it was like the 47th, 48th minute. He said, and the way I've seen it going, 0% chance today.
All right. He can read the game very well.
Yeah. He can tell. He's watched enough Portuguese league soccer, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
His voice is kind of going. I think either he has a cold or he's been calling too many Portuguese league games. It's getting to him.
Yeah. It'll take you out of it. All those red cards, man. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to keep track of. All right. Benfica returned from their holidays to a hero's welcome in Villa de Conde. A lovely run by João Mário is capped with a quick snipe into the top corner by Gonçalo Ramos and is enough to get Benfica over the line and three more points for the league leaders. Wow, look at this crowd behind them. They're all Benfiquistas.
Oh, yeah, the stadium is complete garbage.
No faith in their home team.
But a lot of Benfica fans made the trip, and they filled that away end greatly. Mm-hmm. And were really loud.
Villa de Conde is like Porto territory. Mm-hmm. But this was totally a Benfica stadium.
Yeah, I think there's something about this season. Like, the traveling fans are, like, so hyped up. They're going to every game. And they're being very loud. They can feel the championship coming.
The momentum is building every week.
Yeah, we're getting that 38th. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to call it yet. I'll call it when it's called. Would never do anything like that. But we go up there. And the drive in, even the players are appreciating the drive in. We got to love that. Otamendi. Florentino, who has been Benfiquista, of course, but Otamendi, when he's even videotaping his drive-in.
Oh, Otamendi's been Benfiquista now, for sure.
It's just lovely. Bitch. It's just great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, look at these guys celebrating. They look like the fucking Backstreet Boys.
I love this picture. This picture was circulating with the...
João Mário, Gonçalo Ramos, Rafa, and David Neres. What a fucking... offensive force.
Mm-hmm. Before the game started, I was like, okay, so we play the exact same lineup we always play. No chances taken. First game back off the international break, but...
Florentino wasn't playing, because if he gets another yellow, he can't play against Porto on Friday.
Smart move.
You got scared? And then, you scared or what?
Chiquinho of course I'm scared. Of course. So, Chiquinho and Arsenis.
Yeah.
They play the middle. So we got Neres, and I thought Neres was going to go off today. I'm like, this is a Neres game. Neres is going to go off.
He loves to crush the minnows.
They played on that side completely, just all towards Grimaldo and Neres, and they just weren't getting anywhere. Like, they weren't making any headway. Nothing was happening. Yeah. The other side was completely bunked too, Ba and João Mário, and only we got this one freaking chance right after the end of the second half, or right at the beginning of the second half, I guess we caught them napping a little bit. Mm-hmm. João Mário sneaks in, gets a ball in, and takes two shots for Gonçalo Ramos. One off the defender, second one smacks it, snipes it top corner. He's just the best. He's just the best.
Great season.
Rio Ave was holding it down first half. I really liked Patrick William. He was playing very well. He had Rafa's number. But Rafa also was not playing very well. He wasn't clicking. The whole team kind of wasn't clicking offensively in the first half.
Too much time in the Maldives for Rafa, probably.
They all went on vacation. Justin was saying that after an international break, Benfica never plays well the first game after.
Each one of the games we played after the national break, the Braga one we lost, I think the first one.
They didn't do their morning jogs. They shouldn't have gone on their morning jogs.
Hey, and Justin, look at the man to break the deal there. João Mário. He was playing.
He was the one playing, yeah.
Yep. So I think you're
him and Ramos. Yeah. They got called up. They put in the work.
Oh, yeah. And you were against them, like, going and playing.
I think you were.
And you wanted Rafa to go to the Maldives.
Yep. I think your theory might be debunked right now.
I think Rafa, but you know what? It will help him in the long run. Watch against Porto, watch against Inter. Rafa is going to go off. That little rest he took, the little coconut with the straw in it, that will help him
up the coconut
eventually, okay? He just has to get back. Neres, too. He's having some quinchasa. He's having some caipirinha. And I think the next couple weeks, you're going to see some crazy Neres shit.
It's the longevity we're looking for.
Hey, man, your first day back after a vacation, I'm feeling it today.
That's right.
It's tough. I didn't have to do anything, but I'm sore.
Not me. I'm a champion.
And I will say, so Rioja is not a pushover. Guga.
Dude, Porto. Porto's hot for Guga right now.
They're trying to get him.
He's a priority for them.
He's hot to trot.
Hot to trot that Guga. I want Guga.
The thing about Guni Guga.
Bring in Guga, baby.
Benfica gets a cut of that.
Oh, fuck. We'll give you whatever.
He came from Benfica.
Take a percentage.
But we already knew. We gave up on him. You can have him,
Benfica
sure.
Benfica got the VIG on him.
Guga and Samaras, of course. Samaras doesn't do much anymore. But the substitution when he comes off so he can get the clap.
Did he get clapped? Did he cry again?
He didn't cry, no. I think you only cry once. You're not going to cry every
time. It also wasn't at the luge.
It loses a little meaning each time, right?
Loses meaning when it's not at the luge.
Also, Chiquinho had a good game in place of Florentino.
I think you mean Zidane.
Zidane. Dude, he was looking like Rui Costa out there.
He did, but you know what they call him? Chiquitín Zidane or
something. Chiquitín
Zidane. I can't even pronounce it.
Chiquitín Zidane.
And he drives a sedan?
He Olé'd a guy and he megged a guy and then he spun around and then he passed around and that was played all weekend.
They do
by every Benfica social media.
He was amazing this game. That was a great highlight. He won.
He was amazing. Dude, there was another.
He won man of the match.
Okay, there was another pass where and Pai said the same thing. He got it direct into the box. He took too long to make a touch, and then everyone was on him, and then the chance wasted.
So
you know
he's
what
not
I mean?
Perfect.
I don't think he's perfect. I think he's far from perfect. I think he's good. I think he's good. I'm not gonna hit my own players. Hey, I think he's good.
He's a great replacement for Enzo.
Okay.
He's been great. I think this is his moment. These last few months. I don't know if he's going to play much in the next season.
Really? You think they're going to replace him?
The time of the best time of his career. I think they're going to buy someone in the summer, right? And then who knows where he will be.
Paulo B's going to come back from Pastos all jacked and say, hey, this is my spot.
I wouldn't mind if he stayed next season.
No, he's a serviceable player, and he's great. He's doing great for our club.
Yes.
So there's nothing to complain about, nothing to be mad about. Zidane, as we say.
Zidane.
Portuguese. Nice little mustache.
Thin mustache.
Nice little thin mustache. And then also, Gonçalo Ramos, we got to mention this. He holsters the pistolas for this celebration until the end. Because the first thing he does, go over to the fans and does a big celebration.
He goes right in there. They crowd around him. It was sick.
It was great. You need one of those when you're in your championship season. That's going to be a memory that we can take with us.
And it's like one of those
for the while
where we're like feeling kind of nervous because the first half we played so shit. We don't know if we're going to get this goal. And then it comes right in the beginning of the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he knew right to go there straight. And then he does the pistolas after, as he always does. So it was just a nice day in the park all around and great for the Benfiquistas who showed up there and just lovely.
And, yeah. They enjoyed that shit stadium.
And I'll say this, setting up next week. Porto played shit. We played shit.
I was going to say, we're going into El Clasico, both coming off 1-0 games, going to the luge.
Both teams didn't play well. I like that we had a game to sort of play shit before we get to play Porto. Because
that's how I feel exactly.
The last time we didn't do that, we had to play Braga right after the break, and that did not help us at all.
Mm-hmm.
Braga was all over us. I think having that game will help tremendously. All I hope is that the fucking shithousery, evil empire, bullshit fucking artists that play on Porto don't injure any of our players, because they might. Because they know the title's gone.
And they know you're going up against Inter in the Champions League.
And they know we're going up against Inter, and they might try to fuck us.
We're
going to
break your fucking
legs.
They're
going to say, if we lose against Inter, you lose against Inter.
If we come out with a draw and everyone healthy, I'd be very happy with that, to be honest.
Ooh.
Not even a win. I want to draw it home. I want the win too, but I'd rather have everyone healthy.
On Good Friday.
Because we have bigger fish to fry because we can, and on Good Friday, bigger fish to fry.
We're going to be frying like fish, Jesus, baby. Yeah.
I feel like I'm at a sit down with New York and New Jersey mob bosses right now. And they're like, listen, like, keep your guys safe, keep our guys safe.
Let's all get out of this.
Nobody touches the wives and kids, all right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
No. Porto's going for everyone.
We're both making
money. We're taking heads.
Hey, take it easy there, right?
No.
It depends who plays. If I know Otavio's playing, he'll be a fucking shit disturber. Pep, I don't think will be back, so that you don't he'll have to worry
be ready.
About that.
Pep will be ready for Friday.
And maybe
and that's why he said I can't play for Portugal. I got bigger fish to fry.
We'll see if Pep plays. And George Costa, he hasn't played in years, so I don't think he'll be there. So I think we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be tasty, man. I'm excited for that.
That's gonna be a good one.
Good old fashioned fish fry.
Do the double on them, I think. Hopefully,
please. Dude, you Stakio can keep his shit together and not get a red card, be okay.
We'll be good.
Yeah, dude, that last game, Porto was all over you guys. If we didn't get that red card in the first half, we would have won that.
I don't remember. I just remember the score.
Oh, okay.
It's the same guy saying that you guys got defense problems.
Yeah.
But you guys also have, like, discipline problems, right? Like, you always get red cards.
Nah, we're Saints.
Oh.
the other team gets red cards.
Yeah. Bovisa score a couple of absolute bangers, but sadly it is not enough to beat Maritimo, who get four past them on the island. Couldn't do it. Andre Vidigal with two goals that game. Salvador Agra with a fucking bomb from a free kick. And Lorenzo with a big goal outside the box.
Yeah, last week we were joking about if those big stonks counted as 2 points, then, you know. It would be a draw. It would have been a draw.
Yeah. If it was a competition for nice goals,
yeah,
they would definitely win.
They won that contest.
Yeah.
Dude, Salvador Agra, he's been on fire. I think he came from Tondela.
Yeah, he was on Tondela. Yeah,
Tondela or Mafra. It's like a yellow and green team. Doing well at Bovista. Crazy goal. Holy shit.
So nice.
Let's be jerks and like compare them. Which one do you like better?
Oof.
Of these two goals?
Yeah.
This is a real Sophie's choice, if you ask me.
That's good.
I say the free kick, for
me
sure.
Me too. Because I like how he rolls it, and then like the two guys in the wall don't know what to do. I chase the guy who's doing this little run? Like maybe he's going to pass it to him. No, he couldn't be shooting it, right? No.
Boom.
So no one chases the guy shooting it.
It was a Chris Angel mind freak. They got mind freak.
Mind freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, are either of them contenders for Stonk of the Week?
Absolutely.
Are either of them stonks?
Dude, Salvador Agra's?
Yeah.
Dude, that's game over.
They're both, but yeah, the free kick is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You want to announce it now, we can announce it.
For me, I give it to Agra.
I give it to Agra.
I have another contender later on, but we'll talk about
it.
Sure.
We'll talk about
it. We'll get back into it.
Yeah, the Lorenzo one where he comes off the edge of the box at the top, cuts in.
Oh, that's so nice, too.
Hey, it's just a shame they both happened in the same game on the same week.
Really. Yeah, man. Lorenzo, you should have saved that for another week. You would have won Stonk of the Week on another week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or also, you would have won your game. Like, you're already down. Maritimo was pounding you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe try to score some ugly goals.
Dude, man. But, I mean, Maritimo's hungry. They need a win, and they're clawing their way out of the bottom.
Yeah, it was a great win for them.
Yeah. Braga takes three more important points to keep their six-point lead over Sporting, but with an extra game played, still time, but they're doing okay. Sporting is on fire. Sporting's been on a tear the last couple of weeks. But
I can't believe Sporting hasn't caught them yet. I thought they would.
Dude,
but
Braga's still doing well, even without Vitinha.
Sporting does have this game in hand during the week, so...
Midweek they're playing it Wednesday or something.
Yeah, midweek they're playing, so they could possibly push that down to 3 points. And I still believe that at the end of the day, Sporting is good. It's just gonna be the way it always is. I think Sporting.
I don't know. I kind of believe in Braga. Maybe Braga can get second because Porto's gonna drop points on Friday, right, against Benfica.
Yeah.
So then that's a good opportunity for Braga to just keep trucking on and maybe pass Porto.
Hey, if that happens, then I'm all in on Braga. If that happens, I'm all in, bro.
Dude, could happen. Yeah. New owners, big four. It's not the big three anymore. It's the big four.
Oh, absolutely.
There's also the talk of United getting bought out by the Qatari group. PSG already is in there. Braga is part of it, and it's just going to be funneling players from South America to Braga and then dispersing them through to England and to France.
And how does that... Smart.
I think it's a great business.
It'll be like
system.
Their farm team, but like that would be still a great team in the Portuguese league.
How does that benefit Braga?
Because Braga's like the testing pod. They're going to get all the people from South America.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Benfica's already doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Once they pass the...
Benfica's going to get players who are like trying to win the league, and Braga's getting players who are like, they're just trying to develop.
But
the winners will beat the unproven
The Qatari
kids.
Group will buy Enzos and put them on Braga.
Dude, what if David Neres, what if Luis Diaz, what if Enzo goes to Braga instead of Benfica? Because they say, hey, have a pit stop in Braga, do a season or two, and then you move to the big leagues.
You already know you have an in.
Yeah.
It's not like...
This might sound stupid. And it will. 11 Pizzis will beat 11 Enzos in the league. So I'm saying, like, you're not going to win anything.
I mean, but that's kind of stupid.
Justin,
is that stupid?
No, okay. You're right about stupid. This is the way you got to look at it. With this new system, they're basically building a development system where you're promising young talent in South America that, like, never mind you're going to make it to Benfica. It's like you can make it to PSG and you can make it to Man U. You just got to go up through the system through Braga.
So many I understand promises. What's happening. Okay. I just don't understand how that's benefiting Braga.
They're going to get really good talent.
They're going to import talent, yeah.
They're going to get the talent possibly ahead of Benfica. They're both going to be battling for the same young talent in South America.
They're probably going to get it at a discount price.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Here's where I kind of like, I guess it hasn't been clarified, but I'm sure this is the way they will work it, which is you still need a mix of veterans and young kids.
Of course they'll do that.
Of course they'll do that. You say that, but what if they just purely use them as a farm team? And they just say, like, here's 11 kids.
That'd be bad, yeah.
Then
it's not going to be 11 kids. They still want to compete. They need a reason for people to want to go there.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
They still want to build a good team.
This is where I might have made a mistake and got misguided, and maybe some of the listeners did as well.
We're all speculating this is what I'm trying here. To, yeah. For the record.
We haven't seen it yet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't seen how it's going to work yet. 11 kids would never work.
No.
You got to put a mix of kids and the, what do you call it?
Gorbies.
The Gorbies, the Uber Menches. I was going to say, there's like a Wunder Kids, the Wunder Kids, mm-hmm. and then also the vets.
Veterans.
The Ricardo Hortas, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could absolutely make a great contending team. So I think I was more thinking of like, oh, they're just going to put 11 kids out there? Well, they're going to get smoked.
Dude, but it's...
No. Fair enough.
You look at the system Benfica, Porto, Sporting have all set up, you know, like, if you just throw more money into the league, into the system, wherever you're playing, like, you're going to get the same... I think you're going to get the same product of players coming from South America.
So, and here's where I'll like, kind of counter you on this. Do you think that the ownership, who also owns Manchester United and PSG, is really going to care if they are winning Portuguese Ligas? Or are they going to be like, no, we will use them as a farm team? No, we actually don't.
Well, they will when they get into the Champions League.
From Braga?
Yeah. What if Braga gets in the Champions League? That's more money.
Yeah, I think they wouldn't super care if they win any trophies. Yeah.
Exactly.
I disagree.
No, but say you...
But, like, you got to finish high. They would want them to consistently finish top three.
Okay, but say you bring in a player, hypothetically, maybe he wins the Golden Boot in Portugal for Braga, and he's the top scorer, and then Manchester United or PSG can pick him up at a discount price, but it's still enough that it benefits Braga
it's
in the long run.
It's left pocket going to right pocket. I mean, discount price.
Yeah. Well, just, discount price, but it's like, say if you...
Buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, but it's like, say, you know, the guy is worth 50 mil, and then, you know, to United or to PSG, it's going to be 25 mil, and Braga gets 25 mil either way.
I mean, if they're in a network, would it even work like that?
Yes.
It would just be like...
Yeah, because it's still a business, man. Because
it can go like this. It can go like...
sell to 50 million to Juventus.
Say if Chelsea or Liverpool or Arsenal wants this guy for, like, you know, they're bidding him tons of money, and it's like, okay, Manu's going to get him for half the price.
Yeah.
I think if you're making a network like this, like, the player doesn't leave the network.
No,
he's just going to PSG or he's going to Manchester United, and then the money doesn't need to change hands because it's just left pocket to right pocket.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it's
But then
work?
The ownership, yeah. who pretty much has unlimited money, is probably going to say, okay, Manchester United is still probably going to give Braga $25 million, and they're saying, okay, maybe Liverpool would have paid 60. The ownership group will probably reimburse Braga for the difference.
When you got a good KW.
Braga is still its own business. They need the money. The money has to go there.
Oh, okay. I thought and also, they'd just be like,
when you have a
for free?
When you have a great player, you're
call him up.
You're solidifying. It's like, okay, this guy's good in South America. Now he's good in Braga.
Now he's good in Europe. Now he's good in the Champions League.
Exactly. Now he's going to be good at Man U. You're just making sure that there's no competitive, like all the other teams can't get that player.
Yeah.
So Porto's not getting that player. Benfica's not getting that player. Sporting's not getting that player. You move over to the Premier League, Liverpool's not getting that player. All the top teams in England are not getting that player. Same with France. None of the top French teams are getting him.
Yeah. You're just giving first dibs to United or to PSG.
When they're on a heater, they're keeping it within the family.
And we love first dibs, don't we?
First call dibs.
Well, to be honest, but it's like, what do you think in terms of like a player moving out of Porto? Like a good quality player at Braga moving outside the league as opposed to just joining Porto or Sporting or Benfica?
Doesn't happen very often, yeah.
Exactly. But now it will.
Yeah.
Now Benfica and
look
Porto.
At David Carmo. Dude, Liverpool were looking at David Carmo.
He has to go to Porto first.
Yeah. But now in the new system, maybe he goes abroad.
The other top teams don't get to touch them.
Yeah. So it actually hurts the big three more than anything.
It hurts the other opposing teams in each of those leagues.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the big four. That's fine.
Bring it on. All right, other results. Cazapia with not one but two own goals. Hand Vizela 3-1 victory.
No. A little bit surprising.
Cazapia with not one but two own goals to hand a 3-1 victory to Vizela.
Yeah. Vizela, they didn't get that game handed to them. They kind of deserved that victory. Mm-hmm. It was in their stadium. But just some very, very bad bounces for Cazapia.
Yeah.
And then once you're down by two own goals, how do you feel after that? You're kind of like,
no bueno.
What the fuck?
Deflating.
Yeah. You're giving those guys shit. You're like, come on.
It's a couple of those ones that are like, they're forced own goals, right?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, you put in the ball in a dangerous position, the fucking defender has to clear it. But that being said, one like an inch one way or the other way, it doesn't go in. And then it's like,
man. You still got to give credit to the attacking team. Like, you make your own luck, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely.
Anderson with a big goal for Vizela. I got him on my real fever. Big points there.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Wasn't he on your bench?
No, he came on.
Okay.
Me and Chris were on an airplane getting ready to take off. We're on the tarmac. They're like, hey, everybody, put your phone into airplane mode. We're getting ready to take off. Chris turns to me and says, let me check my real fever team. Who's starting this week? Should I make substitutions? I said, motherfucker, you could do this. For the last 6 months, you haven't changed one goddamn thing on this team.
I said, hey, man, the weekend's about to kick off. Like, everything's about... I'm not going to check it midweek.
It's
like,
Thursday. Yeah. You gotta check it.
Thursday's the time to do it, right?
Yeah, I haven't checked it midweek in months.
But you never check your team weekend.
I'm never hanging out with you, Evan, on a Thursday when it should be done. And I was like, let me secure the moment.
And what are you, like 20th?
Hey, don't worry about it. Join our league and figure out where I'm at.
Yep.
Also, when you're that low, like a few points here and there, you can jump a bunch of spots.
That's true.
I just don't want to get relegated.
You're going to want to jump.
Yeah, you're in danger of getting relegated.
Don't relegate me.
Estoril score first.
Maybe on some other guy's podcast.
You have to go to a different podcast.
They don't even have 10 listeners. They're fucking, we're over here with 11 and you're fucked.
But then we get some nerd gets promoted to our podcast. We don't like him.
Yeah. We didn't want him anyway.
Estoril score in the first minute and then hang on for 90 against Gil Vicente. Dude, Estoril with that bounce back and their coach, man, against his old team did them dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're the Estorilist.
Estorilist.
They had this game within the first minute and then they scored a bunch of offside goals. One was really slick, like the fucking forward made a sick little step over, almost looked like Brazilian Ronaldo. 8 centimeters. Offside. Oof. How do you guys feel about that? That's within the...
I say 10 centimeters and under.
10, I say 6 inches and under.
Yeah, well, that's if you're hard and you're running.
That's if you're hard and running at the same time.
Don't get a big fucking horn going then.
Yeah.
Guimarães and passes to Ferreira, played to a 0-0 draw. Goalkeeper Marafana loses a goddamn mind after being sent off, but Passos hangs on for a helpful point in their battle with Marítimo for a playoff spot.
So funny. So, forgive my ignorance. Goalie gets a red card. He stays on, no? Don't they give somebody else?
No.
No.
Fucked? No.
Gone. They have to sub a midfielder or a defender.
Marafona says it seems like he was taking too long. He gets a yellow card. After he gets a yellow card, he says, this motherfucker gives me a yellow card.
What? He said, do you know who I am?
He says, I've been in this fucking league forever. Starts yelling at the ref. The ref says, and the ref looked young too. He was like, I'm not taking this shit from
He says, I actually don't know who you are.
Red card. Marafona goes right up to his chest. I think almost, not body slams, but give him the whole chest push. Yeah, chest bump. He bumped him.
They're going forehead to forehead. For sure.
It was WWE style. They knew WrestleMania was this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, bring it on, brother.
They were going forehead to forehead, brother.
Marafon said, I'm too old for this shit.
He's like, you can't fire me because I quit.
Marafon has one cap for Portugal in 2017.
Nice.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's sorry to sorry to break the momentum there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, you were right, Patrick. He's too old for this shit.
I've got 1 foot out the door, man. I'll fucking deck your ass.
He would have full on clothesline this motherfucker.
Yeah.
He thought it was not warranted. And this was a very good, as far as 0-0 games go, I didn't watch the game, but.
You're not expected to watch the 0-0 game.
And Tunj got a freak or offside goal too. Or
yeah,
foul
there
in the
was
box.
A couple offside goals. It seemed like a back and forth 0-0 game. It seemed like a good game. And then in the 70th minute, this whole shit goes down. Luckily, Pasos Freire hung on. They were able to get the draw and the result. And good for them. They've been. This second half of the season, them and Sporting have been the surprises.
Our relegation boys are climbing. Except for Santa Clara.
Well, Santa Clara is the worst.
Santa Clara is bottom.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Dude, Estoril coming up, or not coming up, but they got a win. That bought them some fucking time for sure, man. They're 6 points ahead of Marítimo. Marítimo's in the playoff spot now with 19. Passos in 17th with 17 points. Santa Clara down in last place with 15 points. I mean, it's gonna be tight down there. Some big, big games to play. Estoril, I think, is, 6 points. Is that safe?
Marítimo's win was massive against
Huge.
Bovista.
They're
I
feeling
guess.
Good.
Can't
Especially
believe they
against
did that.
Bovista.
Also, it looks like Estoril's next game is Braga.
Ooh, that's a drop.
Then maybe drop points. Marítimo's feeling hot. Maybe they'll get some points.
Yep.
They'll go for the climb.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I've said since January that Pasos Freire is going down. A lot of people said they have a good enough team to kind of get it out of it, but people don't get out of a hole that big. It's like The Simpsons, dig up, stupid. Like, dude, you're already here.
You could
dig up. Digging down.
But
you're,
it's like we're going to be watching like who's getting the playoff, basically.
But yeah, it's kind of a battle for the playoff.
It's the playoff. It's the playoff, for sure.
But
sure.
Dude, Portimonense is 1 point off Estoril, so they're also a possibility of fighting there.
Yeah, but then you get Ferenc in the playoffs, and Ferenc beats you, so what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You guys suck.
Portimonense, Ferenc playoff, that
say?
Would be
You guys
intense.
All fucking suck.
Oh, Oof. Man, they hate each other, Portimonense and Ferenc.
That would be great. Benfica still in first, 71 points. Porto in second, 61. 10 points, at least for now. Next week, it'll be 7 points.
We'll see how it goes.
Braga in third, 59. And Sporting in fourth with 53. Arouca, fifth place, 41 points. Tied with Guimarães ahead of them on goal differential. And then Casapi in seventh. Dude, Arouca now in the talking point for Conference League.
They kind of climbed up because we were thinking it was going to be Casapia or maybe Guimarães. Guimarães is right there tied, though.
Is Arouca going to be the new Santa Clara, though? Like, they're going to qualify and then lose all their players and shit the bed?
Yeah.
I like it. I like the fifth to be because of the geriatrics. What do they call that?
bullshit.
The Europa Conference League?
The schematics. Oh. I like it because of the schematics. I like it to be game and range. I feel like they have more juice. I feel like they have
more
money.
They're a sturdier
club. They
have club.
Jota. They could actually like beat somebody.
They'll know what to do with the club or with the money. Aruka's going to get the money and just fucking give it away to all the board members.
They can spend it on strippers, yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, I do have to commend all the people who like actually bet and like make predictions, who are on podcasts and say, like, you know, because we don't do that. And I don't do that, especially.
Just
like,
Radamus?
Yeah.
Just Radamus.
So I got to commend those people who are like, because, like, let's talk about it. The biggest game of the year is coming up on Friday for the Portuguese League.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen. Every time I've seen Porto and Benfica play, I always just think Porto is going to win. And that's honest from a Benfiquista.
It's a beautiful way to look at the world, my friend.
I don't like to believe that.
That's the way I go into it, seed. And anything else is a
you gotta
fucking
be positive.
No, and everything else is a fucking gift.
Can I tell you from a neutral? I think you guys got this.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
I will never.
You want to do score predictions right now? Me? 2-0 Benfica.
1-1.
3-2.
2-1 Porto.
Wow. So, yeah, like the people who are like, so, what do you call it? Confident. They know what's going to happen. They like saying that. I don't know, man. Every time it comes to like Benfica Porto,
It's going to be his redemption game. He's going to make up for that red card. He's going to score.
Is the next week, like the game the week following, is that the Champions League?
Yeah. We play Champions League on Tuesday.
That's why we're playing Friday.
But we're not holding anything back.
No.
Roger Schmidt Roger Schmidt doesn't hold anything back. He'll just he runs his guys into the
play
ground.
The same guys on Tuesday, yeah.
And why not play Otamendi? Because obviously Morato has to play on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Well, tune in on Friday to see Benfica get crucified.
Hey.
Hey.
You don't get the last word on that. No. Benfica's going to win.
Nah. Actually, no. Who's going to be Judas? Shit. Otamendi will be Judas and score against Porto. Oh. How about that?
Oh, I would love that.
Again. What else?
A kiss with gold with the gold thrown at him. 30
silver?
That's right. Not even gold, silver.
All right,
and
thanks.
Jubis, the mascot, will be there.
He's invited.
He has nothing to do with this game at all.
He's going to be up there sitting between. What if he's sitting in between Pinto da Costa and Rui?
And Rui Costa.
He's just shaking his head. I don't like any of this. And this Benfica guy beat me up last week. You hear about this?
No, wait. The two of them start beating the crap out of him. They just start hitting him.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here, Jubis. All right, thank you for listening. If you're enjoying our football jargon, just a reminder, share and subscribe to the pod, as well as leave a rating and review. Helps other people find the podcast so it can continue to grow. Thanks again for all the support and engagement. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hope you guys are enjoying.
And we'll get into some of the engagement questions coming up soon.
Yep. Share the pod. Tell your friends.
Please.
Yeah. You got a cousin? He's like, oh, he's watched soccer game. Tell that guy about it.
Yeah.
All right, Premier League. Maybe your friend likes the Premier League. We talk about it. Liverpool get out to an early lead with an assist from Diogo Jota on Mo Salah's goal before City thrash the Reds with four unanswered goals and Pep trying to celebrate with Liverpool subs. Ouchie wah wah. Dude, Diogo Jota, nice setup. Sets a little pick, blocks off the defender. Salah comes in, blasts it in. But that was the end of all their hopes.
Cool. He laid it off and then he blocked.
Yeah.
It was a sweet move.
He's saying a pick.
Yeah.
Weird, bizarre.
You don't see
that very often. But it worked. And there was a chance, like almost a breakaway, I want to say, that Jack Grealish came and saved. So you can't say that Jack Grealish has never done anything, because he saved this fucking goal. If Liverpool went up 2-0, don't you see that? Don't you think that's like a totally different game?
100%.
Yeah. Dude, I like Grealish. I've always been pro Grealish.
He's good.
Not me. I don't like him.
No, me either. But anyways, that's not what this podcast is about.
Yeah, we don't gotta get in depth on Grealish.
How'd you think Liverpool came out? They played. You like the lineup?
I like the way it started. I mean, yeah, there's. You know, we need Luis Diaz back For sure.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's an all-star.
It's imminent. Apparently, it's coming.
Yeah.
He will be back.
There was talks about him coming back for this game. I was excited about that. Big first game to start again, like to get back from injury. But, you know, was hoping for that. Didn't happen.
How many spots up do you think you would be if Luis Diaz didn't get hurt?
Good question.
They'd probably be winning the league. The guy's amazing. No. He's the best player I've ever seen in my life.
All right, Portista.
I don't know about that, but
I think full Champions League. There's, I think fighting for Champions
there's
League.
There's definitely
one player.
There was definitely a
Luis Diaz. Yeah. Have you seen this guy?
No, yeah, I know. I love him. He's great.
Can I talk?
Of course.
I think there was a couple games that were really close that if we had somebody like Luis Diaz playing, we would have won. Or at least tied. We would have made points off of.
Because he's a fire starter.
Yeah.
De Bruyne with goals.
Did Darwin play?
No, Darwin's injured.
Oh, Darwin injured, my got bad. Subbed in.
He got minutes in the end.
Yep. And he was one of the subs that walked past Pep Guardiola when he was being absolutely ridiculous after, I think, was it the third or fourth goal?
He jumped for joy like a jolly little girl.
That wasn't really the problem. The problem was him sort of addressing the subs that were walking past him. Yeah. Why were the subs walking past him, too? There's a lot of questions going on. What's going on right there?
Warming up.
And Pep decided to address them, sort of say, like, it was mostly Tsimikas, and I think Darwin walked past him, but he was like, talk to Tsimikas. It was like, wasn't that such a nice goal? Or something, that's what he wanted to say. Yeah. It's very bizarre. I don't know.
They would turn to Pep and they said, hey, suck my butt.
If it was Mourinho, I think there would have been a lot more.
He's playing head games. He's playing head games for sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Liverpool's not really in the chase anymore.
No.
But he still remembers that for two straight years, it was him and Liverpool. It was him and them.
Oh, right? Dude, that's the rivalry of the fucking, for sure. That's one of the biggest rivalries of the season.
2018 to like 2021. Yeah, it was pretty much them two clubs, right?
Yeah.
So I think he hasn't forgotten that, and that was him giving it to him.
Oh, dude. He knows when the season turns, Liverpool is just as big of a threat as any other team.
I'm not saying this just because I'm a Liverpool fan. This is just somebody who watches EPL year to year. I thought even Liverpool in the standings that they are in, I thought that they could have won this game easily. I thought when the game started, we were going to win it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. When you think about those big teams, you don't know what's going to happen.
Dude, a couple weeks ago, Liverpool's relatively in the same spot in the table. They crushed United, who's in second or third, 7-0.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I mean, we beat City earlier this year as well. We beat City every year.
So absolutely, similarly, Bernardo Silva comes on like the 80th minute. Ruben Diaz is the only guy who plays 90 minutes who's Portuguese.
Well, we're down to two Portuguese guys.
So this was a 7:30 a.m., and I was like, you know, I was staying up pretty late. I had a pretty late night. I like to party. I like to party a little bit. And I made the decision, and I saw the starting lineups, and it was just Jota and Ruben Diaz. Mm-hmm. And this game does not have the juice like it used to have.
Yeah.
When Manchester City used to have Ruben Diaz and João Cancelo and Bernardo Silva starting every game, that's more of a watch.
That's not so much of a watch. That's a lot of dent for you.
Yeah, well, Justin, you made it pretty clear. Three Portuguese guys, that's a watch.
That's a watch.
It didn't hit your minimum.
No. Yeah.
It's also, we were, in the western part of the continent. It was 4:30 for us.
And I was we were almost going to stay up and watch it.
We almost did. I fell asleep for the first half. I woke up for the second half and saw City score two goals, and I was like, okay, this is fucking over. I'm going to bed.
Just to let you know, if you're living in Canada, you got Fubo, and you go to the States, you can't watch it. It doesn't work.
Fubo's blanked out.
Fubo's blocked out.
You tried to log into yours.
It didn't work.
It's blocked on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to get Peacock TV.
Yeah.
Peacock.
Or a VPN.
They got the rights.
You got a VPN.
Just a heads up.
But yeah, shout out to Greels.
Fuck that guy.
Big game for him.
He had a great game.
As I live and breathe, it's the Greels. You're good. Move on.
Yes.
Of course.
All right. Wolves draw 1-1 to Nottingham Forest. Sa, Semedo, Tati Gomes, Neves, Nunes, and Moutinho all start. Pedence comes on at half, manages to hit the back of the net to tie the game up. A bit of a kerfuffle with Diego Costa would lead to Danny Potty spitting at Nottingham Forest players Brennan Johnson.
It looked like a spit.
There's no proof of spit.
Yep.
There's no proof of spit.
I don't see a loogie. I didn't see any white substance.
We watched that replay a few times, all right?
Did they do DNA testing?
They didn't do DNA
testing. We watched it like the Zapruder film.
Exactly. we dissected the hell out of it.
Brennan Johnson says he felt something like spit.
But it came from a grassy knoll.
To the side. Yes. He said he felt a spit-like substance is what he felt.
And then he turned back and to the left.
And if you watch the video, Daniel Podence makes a spit-like movement with his mouth and cheeks.
But how much spit did he get out, though?
I think he just hit him with a blast of air.
Yeah, it could have been air.
I think it was just a blast of air, like when
blowing his face.
When you come out of a car wash and there's like, just
both not nice. I mean, it's not nice to hit someone with a blast of air.
Let's get it straight here. They're both rude.
Yes.
But when you spit on somebody, that's assault.
That's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
That is assault.
Yeah.
When you blow somebody with air,
that's
just saying what up.
You know,
maybe his breath was stinky that day. He's like, I'm just going to blow it in this guy's face. Turn him off.
Like a bully in the third grade, just like,
smell this.
Growing up, one of my favorite players, an Italian man, Francesco Totti.
Oh.
Loved him. Oh, my goodness. Watch his best goals. Watch his best assists. Watch his highlights.
Class.
He spit on a guy. And it really disappointed me. I was very upset. I was like, God damn, man. Why do that?
It's low.
It's so low. It's the most disgusting thing you can do to somebody. It's not nice.
But that's just like, this is what I think of you. I spit on you.
It's disgusting.
But when you're really pissed, maybe you get into like a little spitting stuff.
No, you show it on the field.
I would never do
it. You score a goal in this man's face.
Yes, exactly, spit. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. We're adults here.
Danny Potty did both. He did both.
Lost a lot of respect for him that day. But he's still one of my favorite players. And sometimes you forget about like the bad things. But Daniel Podence.
Dude, but also he went to go defend Diego Costa. Do you think the man needs defending? That guy's a fucking animal.
He did a weird thing.
He tried to move the guy's leg.
Yeah, he's like moving a guy's leg. That's a bit much. Like pushing someone out of the way, like touching their upper body or kind of like adjusting them that way. Grabbing their foot and trying to adjust their foot is kind of weird. It's just weird.
Ricardo Pereira stonks one past the keeper, but it's not enough to keep Brendan Rodgers' job as Leicester lose 2-1 to Palace. And one manager in, one manager out there, Roy Hodgson back on the wheel at Crystal Palace.
Well, that just happened. Yeah, that happened so quick. Roy Hodgson in.
Took him out of the old folks' home. They said, hey, come on, you're going to go back to work.
Do you know what he looked like? He looked like, you know, Willy Wonka when Charlie gives his grandfather the ticket and he's like, oh my God, I get to go to the factory.
And he was sleeping in that bed with his other grandparents beat the head.
That was Roy Hodgson.
He said, have some more cabbage soup, sir. And he says, no, I need to go coach Crystal Palace once again.
The bed was him. Josualdo Ferreira. Fernando Sanchez.
Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger would be great in that bed. That giant coat. He never took that giant coat off. It's all the way.
Oh, he loves a fucking long
head-to-toe coat.
Ricardo
Pereira, that's my vote for stonk of the week. I don't care what you guys say.
That's an in-the-box blast.
It's in the box, but he stonked it.
He smashed it. I'd say it's a stonk. I don't think it's stonk.
I don't think
it's stonk of the week material.
I don't think anyone hit a ball harder than him all week.
He smashed it.
The way he hit that was so hard. I love it.
It's not about speed. It's about beauty.
Go talk to Salvador Agra about that.
I disagree. I think that's the whole thing about stonk of the week. Do you know the definition of stonk?
Beautiful
you
blast.
You stonk it. He's hit it so hard.
For the record, there is no definition. That's why we argue every single week.
That's the fun of this.
Yeah.
Marco Silva's men go down 2-1 to Bournemouth. Sad to see them lose to fucking Bournemouth. Dude.
They're in that battle.
Hey, guys, it happens. Sometimes you lose to Bournemouth.
Fulham's luckily not in that battle, but Leicester is, and these other teams are.
Yeah, Leicester's feeling it. Surprisingly enough. Newcastle win a huge game with Champions League implications after shutting out Bruno Fernandes and Diogo Dalot. A 2-0 win for these Saudi boys.
Let's go. Ronaldo's going to Newcastle.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's true yet. I seriously doubt. The more I think about it, they're like, they're, Why Newcastle would never agree to that.
Why not?
You don't think Ronaldo would thrive at the Geordie Shore? He would crush it, bro.
Ronaldo, I think every character on Geordie Shore or any person in Geordie is based off Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, they would love to live in Madrid their whole summer. And, like, have people seen the show or, like, know these people? But either way, yes, they're the same type of person.
Ronaldo would get to the Geordie Shore. He would get to the Geordie Shore and be like,
yep.
I think I love this and I deserve this.
Yes. But Bruno Fernandes and Diogo Dalot could not muster up anything. And apparently, I just read on the ESPN network, they did a players-only meeting. No staff meeting, they called it. I guess they call it no staff meeting in thing. I don't know if it's that desperate, the situation. Like,
at Manchester United?
Yeah, you're fighting. Like,
no.
What, are you going to do this every fucking year? Like,
dude, they're fine. Yeah. I saw something that like they were actually doing better with...
I heard they're doing just about the same.
Yeah, about the same with... what's his face? Fucking Smeagol over there. Bilbo.
Ten Hag?
Solskjaer.
Yeah, yes. Bilbo. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean...
But what about the Ragnarok? He's not even a coach.
Not even... I don't know who this man is. I've never heard of him. They bring him to definitely coach better Manchester than him. United?
Well, good luck for them. And I hate to see it. That second goal right in Lindelof's face. Mm. I love Lindelof. We used to love Lindelof, remember?
Still cheering for him, but it's not going well. He's got to move.
Bruno Guimarães apparently had a hell of a game.
I think Lindelof's got to be La Liga or Serie A, something like that.
Yeah. He looks like a Juve guy. I could see him at Juve.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
Come home?
Come home, everyone. Come home. Andre Gomes, Lindelof, everyone, come home.
I'll take them.
Chelsea pathetically lose 2-0 to Aston Villa at home. Graham Potter relieved of his duties after the match. Ruben Amorim is appreciated, according to Fabrizio Romano, the Mirror says.
Marco Silva is in the running. That's what the
Marco
Mirror says.
Silva in the running.
And then, of course, everyone thinks that it's going to be Nagelsmann.
Nagelsmann.
Just take Nagelsmann.
Yeah. He's cleared up. Spurs also looking at Nagelsmann. And it's one of those things where it's like he could just, you know, take some time off and get that full Bayern payout.
And I'm sure that, you know, for Spurs, I think Spurs are also looking at Amorim. I think Spurs are probably also looking at Marco Silva. And if you're Marco Silva or Amorim, you're like, well, I'd rather have the unlimited budget of Chelsea, who has proven to win things, rather than Spurs, who hasn't won anything and will.
But does Chelsea
start
fire
stiffing
me?
You?
Does Chelsea?
Ruben Amorim should definitely decline that offer. Spurs offer.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone should decline that Spurs offer.
Yeah.
Just fucking give that to.
I can't imagine signing up for that job unless you're like a British person who's like you're under the level. You know what, Graham Potter? That Graham Potter might be perfect for Spurs. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I don't think so. I think he was terrible at Chelsea, and he had so much talent at his disposal. For him to go to Tottenham with, no offense, shittier players, what's he going to do there? Nothing.
Yeah, but, manager would want to go to Tottenham?
Like, yeah, but we were more thinking of, like, if you're in the manager's position.
Yeah.
If you're Graham Potter, you would sign up for that immediately, right?
100%. Get the best job you can, brother. That guy doesn't deserve anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking go for it.
But if you're the team, yes, you want someone better than Graham Potter. You want someone better than those guys.
In my head, I don't think Graham Potter deserves to be in the Premier League, period.
Wow. Whoa, harsh.
Yeah.
Wow, and Chris is popping his peas on that one. He doesn't
pop his peas on Potter.
Some say he should play in the championship.
Potter doesn't deserve to be in the Premier League, period.
Brighton's new coach, Italian fellow De Zerbi, he's also in the running for a lot of these jobs, too.
Which is funny because...
it's the same thing as Potter. Literally the same.
Yeah, Potter got robbed off of...
I think it's just Brighton's system. Whoever's buying players, whoever's, you know, keeping these guys with a full horn going to play every game, that person, whoever's keeping that club going, that's the person that makes the magic happen. It's apparently not the coach.
Absolutely.
Our good friends of the pod, Longball Football, they asked us lots of managerial sackings this week. Made me think, who's been the worst manager your club has had since you'd followed them? What do you guys think?
For Benfica, I'd say Kike Flores.
I went back through it, and it's going to be...
I did not like him, yeah.
I agree. It's got to be Kiki Flores. There was like a little like, what do you call it? Fashion of hiring a Spanish manager.
Yeah, when Porto had Lopetegui.
Lopetegui, we had Kiki Flores. But he won two cups in the same year. Ooh. So he did 1 year, but we finished third. And I was just looking through the team. Team was good. It wasn't terrible, but I would have to say, I was looking through, you know, the other years, and it was like someone would do well, and then we'd have an interim. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fucking...
No, you can't call the interim out.
I'm not killing the interim. No. You know what I mean? Like, I'm calling out the big...
Who's the best interim you've ever seen?
The big head honcho, the big...
Best Lodge. Interim was Bruno Lage, yeah.
Bruno Lage?
Lage.
And then he got a contract.
And also, there was a lot of... Since I've been following, so like I'm only going to go from about 2003, 2004 onwards. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of second stints. So Camacho, who was the coach when I first started following, did okay, did well. Wouldn't say he was the worst manager I've ever seen. Second stint, bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Jorge Jesus, first stint, good. Second stint, bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Second stint, so, Jesus is up there for... the worst coaches.
So how can you say he's
but
the worst?
But the first is great.
Yeah, how can you say he's the worst coach if he's like, he was a coach then and he was a coach now?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. For Francis Coppola made Godfather 1 and 2. He also made Godfather 3, right? So, like...
You come back for the third.
A lot of people don't do the third stint, though.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So you can't shit on him because he made the third and we made two masterpieces before that.
Yeah. That's a very good point,
Chris. For Porto, I think, like, Paulo Fonseca didn't really have a great go there. Overall, I think Jose Pesiero, he did like 6 months, not great. Porto's been pretty sturdy for the last decade, obviously. But in my time as a Porto fan, it's like Gesualdo Ferreira, then we had the Village Boys years, Conceição, Vitor Pereira. They've had some pretty sturdy coaches. Very, very small point in time of like bad coaches. And we flipped through to the next guy pretty well.
I'd have to say,
always good coaches.
I'd have to say, Gesualdo Ferreira was probably the worst, right?
Like for Porto? No, he did well, man.
He was at least successful, no?
No, he came on after Mourinho and he had some good years. He had a good like 5 or 6 years as coach.
Okay.
What about for Portugal?
I guess in my vibes wise. Portugal, all of them.
Yeah, Gesualdo Ferreira has a terrible vibe. Yeah, I'd back you on that. For Portugal, Bento. I hated Bento.
That's what I was going to say.
That was better.
Fucking Bento was schmuck.
The Bento's era was my least favorite.
For me, also as like a partial Chelsea fan, sadly, I think like the most disappointing coaches, Villas-Boas and Scolari, who loved both of them, wanted them to succeed so well, but just did not happen.
For Chelsea, though, wasn't Villas-Boas one of the ones that they won the Champions League?
No.
Off their,
Di Matteo.
No, but off their firing year.
Off the firing, yes. That was off the firing
right?
year.
So he made the team. But you then could say he that. Just didn't coach the team.
He brought in Bosingwa.
Right.
We love Bosingwa.
Love Bosingwa.
Right.
Also, Benfica in the 90s, they were terrible. Mm-hmm. And near the end of the 90s, we had Graham Souness. He brought a bunch of British players over, and it was just a terrible team.
Oh, shit.
Chris, Liverpool fan, what's your worst coach?
Yeah, I'm not trying to dodge the question here, but, like, yeah, you were saying Kenny Dalglish. That's a little bit before my time. I don't really know.
Dude, he brought in Andy Carroll. Those were the Andy. He did bring in Luis Suarez, but he also brought in Andy Carroll.
It's so tough to call a legend of the club one of the worst, you know what I mean?
Yeah. As a player, a legend. Coach, not so much. He brought back like the he wanted to bring back British players to Liverpool. That's what happened. I think that's why Milner ended up there. Like they signed a lot of British guys that flopped. But yeah.
I mean, I don't like Milner now, but I can't really argue. Like Milner did a lot for the club.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember him bringing in a bunch of British guys and prioritizing British players over foreign players.
Andy Carroll
not that it's bad, but like
Andy Carroll was one of the worst signings in Liverpool history.
Yeah.
Like, but no one knew it was going to be bad.
No.
He seemed good at the time. He seemed really good at the time.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to France. All of PSG's Portuguese players start as they lose 1-0 to Lyon. Messi gets booed during the opening and walks out to the tunnel upon the final whistle. Lead cut down to 6 points. I think he went to go take a corner and everyone was just chanting Cristiano Ronaldo at him.
Oh, so it's good that it goes both ways. Yeah. Because, you know, in Al Nassr, everyone's just chanting Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
I think people just like tearing the most successful people down. They want to see you at your worst. They don't want to see you doing well at your best. Hell no.
Hey, man, we went to that game in Hamilton. We all chanted at Kyle Becker, TFC reject. He got an assist and they
scored. Some people chanted that, sure. I would never.
You would.
That's a little low, right?
That's a little low, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I couldn't even make the I couldn't even make TSC or the CPL.
Yeah.
How would I ever dare to dream to yell at someone about that? Mm-hmm. Mind you, Messi is getting the shit because I think people are like, we expected more. You were supposed to be the savior. You just won the World Cup. We're paying you so much more money than Argentina is paying you, which is nothing. I think you probably play for free or somewhere close
Messi
to that.
Messi should retire now. He's done it all. Just retire.
He should have retired after the World Cup.
Go on a high, dude.
Once in Qatar, they put that bishta on him.
Yeah.
He should have just walked out with that bishta on him and said,
drove into the sunset.
With a cheetah in his
with
lap.
With a Bentley. Yeah. They all drive Bentleys over there, I'm sure. Just leave.
Yeah. Agreed.
Unless he wants to, sign up for TFC, then we'd be happy to have him.
We'll take him on.
On April 1st, he did.
Yeah.
Mind you, I got one more point. Vitinha played, Danilo played. Looked like Danilo was at fault for one of the goals.
I think
Nuno Mendes played, of course. But most importantly, Ronaldo Sanchez is back.
Sanchez.
It looked like he created a couple chances if you watch the extended highlights. And I'm excited about that. He's a player I love. He's a player that I like to watch. And in this PSG team, look, they're still going to win the title. They're 6 points ahead, but the teams chasing them are long, and I don't even know the other team.
It's probably Will still.
Probably wrong. And long and wrong. Long and wrong. They'll be okay. So, Ronaldo Sanchez, exciting player. That I'm glad is back.
He's back, baby. Box to box player.
Yeah. Danilo said people don't care about this club.
Danilo made some crazy comments.
He did the he pulled the Conte.
Yeah, if Danilo was a coach, he'd be fired right now.
He did pull the Conte. Weird because you were almost at fault for the goal, but I guess he was trying to like rally the troops. Maybe he's been there one of the longest.
Oh yeah, he was the earliest Portuguese signing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Italy. In a Champions League preview, AC Milan mopped the floor with international darlings Napoli in a meaningless game at the Maradona Stadium. Rafael Leão upstages Kvaratskhelia with two goals and a big old smile.
Stupid. They showed all their cards.
Maybe.
I agree.
Did they?
Ooh, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Napoli is like, let them win.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Do your worst.
Spalletti is like, oh, this is how you're going to play. Okay, yeah. I get it.
I see what you want to do to us.
Get their hopes up.
Yeah, and then they feel good going into the game.
Yeah.
It's a great strategy.
Also, Kim Min-jae. Did I say that word correctly?
Yeah, Kim Min-jae.
Apparently he's one of the best defenders on that fucking in the league.
Probably one of the best defenders in the world right now.
Ooh.
He didn't have a good game, but he just traveled a tremendous amount from South Korea. Yes.
International break takes a toll.
Apparently, so he said to, I guess, the coaches, why are you guys calling me? I'm in this big Serie A title race. We're playing friendlies. He'd rather not be called. How do you guys feel about that? Because I feel like that's really honest, and I think it's right. Like,
if you're playing friendlies, I feel like it's fair to say no.
Yeah, I have no problem.
Friendlies matter for FIFA ranking, though.
That's okay.
Yeah, but
he got killed. So I think it was Korean media. It's like, this should be an honor. Son is like complete opposite of that. He's like, I'll come anytime you guys want to fucking call me. I'm on my way. And
it's a little bit different though. Son's not gonna win the fucking Premier
that's
League.
That's right.
He's got no fucking hope.
Yeah.
Well, for Kim Min-jae, this game didn't even matter. Like,
Son,
he has such a big lead.
But he does want to keep his legs, right?
But
throughout
still
the season.
He's got something to fight for.
Yeah, I agree.
And are they flying him first class? Is the plane delayed? Is he going to get a good meal on the plane?
Who knows? Who knows this is all what you're things? Thinking about it.
Oh, I'm sure the flight's great.
Is he getting bibimbap on the fucking plane? You think?
Who knows, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know about that, but I agree with you that Son is like, he's not competing for anything ever. Dude, he's never competing for anything.
It's where your head's at, right? At the end of the day, like, this is what Danilo was saying about Paris. Like, the players, your heads are not there. If he wants to be there in Italy and he wants to be competing, just keep him there.
Yeah.
He's going to go play a half-assed game there and then, you know.
Because also, it's like when you reflected on Portugal, it's like we have so many players that we want to see playing all the time. We have so many young players, like give them a chance to show, especially with a new coach, like let's show this new coach. And they also have a new coach because Bento left after the World Cup, right? Mm-hmm. Let's check out the young talent, especially for a team like Korea. They know this guy, like he's going to be their starter.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's going to start when it comes to important matches. You might as well try out people.
Yeah. In a game that doesn't matter, see what the young talent's like, right?
But he's like their Ruben Dias. They need to find his partner.
That's fair.
Okay. And maybe it's Jisoo Park, who plays on Portimonense, who played pretty well against Porto. We forgot to mention.
He did play well.
All right. Jose Mourinho saves former player Dejan Stankovic from racismo, but not from an L as Roma beats Sampdoria 3-0.
Racismo. What did he say?
Give him a little kiss on the forehead.
I love Dejan Stankovic. He's got one of the best stonks of all time.
So would he
one
be?
Timer.
And his name is.
Would he be Stanks. Dejan Stankovic?
Stankovic, dude. He hit that one-time volley from mid so fucking hard. Him and Seedorf are up there for best stonks of all time for me.
I don't know if anyone could pass Seedorf, but yeah, Stankovic had some stonks. So
Stankovic, get it right.
Yeah. Seedorf has the craziest ones.
Yeah. Stankovic has some stonks, I will say that. He played on a team that I watched a lot with because Figo was on that team, so every time he was on TLN, I was watching.
Dude, good days at Inter.
Yep, and he was a great player. And Jose Mourinho comes out of the box as the Roma fans are giving it to Dejan Stankovic because I guess they know him very well. He was on Inter. And he comes out and gives the, hey, guys, hold on motion.
Leave this guy alone.
Stop.
Mourinho had a funny moment again where it's like he's talking to a player that's getting ready to get subbed on to the field. And his team scores, and he doesn't even blink twice. He's like, okay, this is the game plan. Like, look, this is how you're going to play. This is how we're going to line up when he gets subbed in. And that's just his new thing, not giving a fuck about goals anymore.
Second time with about 3 weeks where he had to, like, readjust the game plan as he was, like, subbing someone on, someone else scored. But this time, it wasn't just he wrote, okay, score again. He was like, all right, you know what? We're going to play defense now. He changed the whole thing around.
Yeah.
Told the guy, like, all right,
did that
just,
guy not
you
go
just
on?
Relax.
No, he didn't.
I think he might have not went on. I don't know.
But he was like, calm.
Yeah, yeah. Once you give the substitution cards to the ref, like, it's happening.
Yeah. I think you rescind that.
I don't think
you give it to the messenger, you stop the messenger, right?
Yeah.
You got to shoot the messenger. to Germany, Der Klassiker kicks off with a Gregor Kobel Frangel that would make Adan look like Oliver Kahn. Yeah, that was fucking poor, man.
That was really bad.
Up Meccano scoring from his own half.
That was pretty much the same goal. So he passed it up to, like, make a through ball. Kobel comes out to try and kick it away and just whiffs. And then the other player doesn't even need to touch it. It has so much pace on it. The ball just rolls into the net. And that pretty much sealed the deal. Like, I remember last week I was saying, like, well, Der Klassiker, I mean, we're going to have João Cancelo. We're going to have Guerreiro. Davies is going to be there. It was just Davies and Guerreiro. And you know what?
Was it still a watch?
I watched.
Oh, dude, Der Klassiker is always a watch.
It was
always
a watch,
a
but
game.
You know what? After 22 minutes, the game was over.
Yeah. Oof. Thomas Müller adds a brace, and it's 3-0 by the 22nd minute. The 4-2 scoreline really flatters Dortmund as Rafael Guerreiro and co. couldn't get anything going when it mattered, but did combine nicely with Malen for a dignity goal. João Cancelo comes on for Davies with 20 minutes left, and the job is done.
Off Wiedersehen.
Off Wiedersehen.
Oh, yeah. Very nice, very nice.
And
Guerreiro, I saw them going up, and it was very similar. Like, it felt like I was watching fucking Portimonense against Porto. Like, they couldn't get anything going. Or the team against Santa Clara versus Sporting. They couldn't connect three passes. If ball would get to Rafa Guerrero, and I wasn't going to blame Rafa Guerrero because he would make his pass, and the rest of the team just fucking fell.
And Thomas Tuchel. Oh, sorry.
And people, they rate this Jude Bellingham guy.
He's really good.
I can't fucking count how many giveaways this guy did this game.
Maybe he had a bad game.
Bayern was just on him. Bayern was just boom.
Maybe that was their plan. Maybe it was like shut down Jude.
Yeah.
Hey, Jude.
Look, dude, imagine if he went to Liverpool and he was, hey, Jude.
He should have.
That'd be
that's a chant.
That motherfucker should stay away from England like the plague. He should go to Madrid. He should go to Barca. He should go to Italy. He should not go back to England.
It's boring to go to England.
I don't think he'll do well, man. I don't think he will. I don't think he'll cut it in English.
Yeah, because he's
English
not
football.
Good.
I think he's good. I just think he has a talent that doesn't complement the English game. And a lot of English players, they thrive outside of England.
I don't know. What I just watched was dog shit, so I don't know.
I think you should go to Benfica.
Look, sure.
Everybody can have a bad game, and I mean, him playing against Bayern Munich.
This was supposed to be the year that Bayern Munich was going to get toppled. And, you know, Ric Flair says this thing, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Beat the man.
And guess what? You came up against the man, you got fucking smacked. Down.
Bayern, manager bounce back, Tommy Tuchel. Against his old team, that fucking hurts, man.
Yeah.
Measure bounce back, but I mean, who did it? And also, like, Bayern has, like, a stacked team, right? Yeah. But guess who? But who did it? Thomas Müller, the guy who's been there forever. I don't know.
Yeah. That's true.
It screams to me that you don't got it.
Yeah.
No, and you don't. Never had it. And you never had your car, you know?
Local lads, Toronto FC tie Charlotte 2-2. Winds not blowing their way. Bernadeschi scores off the corner. Beautiful corner kick there. Finds the far side of the net. Both goals scored in the same net. And I think it was just a windy ass night at BMO. And whoever was going that way got all the goals.
Yeah, come on, guys. Olympico.
Hey.
Yeah, man. That the wind was just blowing to that direction in that net to the north end. After Bernadeschi scored this Olympico, he tried it. He had a few more other quarters. He tried to keep doing it.
There was one that was a foul or something, or something happened.
Cervania scored from the other side. He's right footed.
Yeah.
And he scored that one in, but there was a foul on the goalie, so it didn't count.
Yeah.
So there was technically two Olympicos, but one was disallowed.
Yeah, and then Michael Bradley scored a header.
Dude, even the Michael Bradley goal, when I saw it in like regular time, I was like, oh my god, they do it again?
yeah, it was kind of quick.
It was so fast.
Yeah. And they fucking blew it. But these guys
literally blew it. But you know what? That's the thing with the BMO field, right? You're right by the lake there, and I've seen games like that. It's a very amateur thing to happen, right?
It's hard.
Like I remember in high school, it's like, oh, you're playing a windy game. It's like whoever's going with the wind's gonna do a better job.
Oh, when me and Patrick used to play intramural, like there were days that it was so windy out there at the hangar and outside the hangar, but like we were like, okay, a whole different strategy for the second half of the game.
100%. You got to keep it low, but this TFC field. They're getting ready for the World Cup. They're going to build up the stands.
They added new stands.
And I think once that stadium is fully built, it's going to block a little bit of the wind. I don't think you're going to get situations like this happening anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Just thinking out loud.
Yep.
I must commend Bernadeschi on that goal, though, right? Like, he still had to kick it. He still had to give the direction, the pace. And it still had to go in.
He did bend it like crazy.
That's fantastic.
But the wind carried the bend.
Okay. Yeah. But he knew it could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
He knew what he was doing. He only did that because he knew he had the wind on his side.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I ask you this. Can that be a stonk?
Oh.
No, certainly not.
Could be Olympico of the week.
Yeah. He went to a Leafs game midweek, I think. And he said, come on, Maple Leafs.
He's amazing. As long as
he didn't say, let's go Leafs. Let's go, Leafs. Yeah,
yeah. You wanted him to say, let's go, boys in blue.
boys in blue.
Yeah.
I think someone has opened his eyes to that he is a meme, right? So he knows he has catchphrases now.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's just being himself.
I think he's got to just keep fucking putting fuel into this fire.
He did a little April Fool's joke on Vasquez. The balls in the car.
Yeah.
He said, this is my I love this prank. I love it. And he had to obviously be taught the word prank, I'm sure, right? Yeah. He's like, oh, I love this joke.
I got to say, there were not enough balls for that prank to be successful.
He tried.
He needed to put at least 8 or 10 more bags of those balls in that car.
It was enough for Vasquez to be like, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this?
And then he just moves a couple balls out of the way.
Yeah.
And then Berendezzi's like, I didn't get to see his reaction. He left.
Oh, no.
He's Super Mario. Dude, Berendezzi is Super Mario.
Fuck Chris Pratt. He should have been in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Maybe even Luigi. But yeah. I like Charlie Day. Anyways. York United season starts April 16th. Get tickets to that game. It's going to be a banger.
Will we be there? Can you come party with us?
I'm working. I'll be there.
Right. We'll have balloons. We'll be the kings of BMO.
Kings of York Lion Stadium.
Right.
Other news, Jota with a penalty and an assist for Celtic. Big points for them. Diogo Gonçalves scores for Copenhagen. And, good game for him. Nice to see the little Benfica boy getting some...
We love it. He's having a good time in Copenhagen.
Yeah, he's good. I hope he comes back to Portugal.
Beautiful city.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure he's enjoying his time there. Nice little city.
Oscar Cardozo, poker, 4 goals.
What the fuck? Where's this guy playing?
He's playing in the Argentinian league. He's 39 years old. He scored a poker. Did you guys know poker is 4 goals?
Nope. Good for him.
I learned that right now.
Well, he did that.
Good for Cardozo.
Yeah.
Women's World Cup jerseys release. Portugal has a nice, clean red kit, some nice round collar with a green trim, and then two green lines on the side. The away jersey, white and teal, with a bunch of like paint splatters. I kind of like it.
I love it.
The Portugal one I love.
Better than the Bandeiras?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Bandeiras too.
I would say both.
Yeah. Like, I definitely like the away better. The home kit, it's like it's clean. It's nice. I do like it.
We've seen it before. It's a plain red shirt.
Yeah, I think it's reminiscent of like the 2010 jersey or something.
I think clean is important. Yeah, I think when you're home, clean is important. The way you can go funky. For some reason, for the men's, the last tournament, they went home. They went away clean and they went home funky. I mean, you would say that little
split. It's not
split.
That funky.
You
just
don't think
split.
That split thing is funky?
It's a little funky.
All right.
Yeah.
It's funky.
I thought it was funky.
Right? Anyways, these two are great. Buyable. You put Kika. You put Jessica Silva
That's
on
exactly
it.
What I'm going to
oh,
do.
Oh, my goodness.
You're having a great time. I tried to buy it today. They're not for sale until June. Oh. I'm like, why are you showing me this if it's not for sale?
Get you hyped.
They'd get me hard, and then I can't get off with the jersey.
Yep.
Is that what you do when you get the jersey?
When it comes
don't answer
guys.
That. Don't answer
when
that.
When it comes in the mail and I open it.
Don't answer that.
Canada jersey is also revealed. Red and black for home. And then the away jersey is literally the exact same as Portugal, but without all the funky paint splats. And it's just white and red. Just
plain white. I like the black away, personally.
That's fine.
I'm not that crazy about these.
I don't think Canada...
I don't like them.
Personally, I don't think Canada should ever have a black jersey. Same thing with hockey.
No,
red and white.
Nice.
Why?
Well, the black jersey was a third jersey.
Well, look at the flag, right? Like, there's red and white. Where's the black?
Pay homage, Justin.
What's black for what?
Intimidation.
For some reason, orange. I don't know if this is the actual real one, but this Canadian jersey, it looks like the jersey should be like for a character on Reboot. Like, why is...
Reboot.
What is this?
It looks like the
why is it so technological?
Looks
like
the wind. Like
matrixy.
I don't know. The main like maple leaf on the front is upside down, and I don't understand that. Like
it's
just
so bizarre.
Some
why
geometric
the,
shapes?
Yeah. What's with all the shapes?
I gotta say, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I think looking at it right now in the like as a prototype looks kind of weird. I think on a human would look cooler.
It's okay. I don't think I need to own it.
I think I hate it.
Yeah, well, either way, we'll see. See how Sinclair does in that. There's another Canadian girl that got signed to Orlando Pride, and she's, like, 18, and she, like, kind of beat the draft or something, or just, like...
I heard about this.
Apparently, she's going to be the next, like, fucking striker of the future for women's soccer. So, best of luck to her.
That'd be great. Actually, I heard Becky got injured and she won't make the World Cup.
Janine Becky?
It's too bad.
Oh, well. Stonk of the week?
Agra for me.
Salvador Agra.
Yep.
For me, it's got to be Ricardo Pereira, but I've been outvoted.
And so we'll leave that.
Your vote stands.
The vote stands. It's there. It's there for the world to hear.
I think that's the stonk.
Okay. Joan Wonder, 103.
All right. I got to go with Salvador Agra.
Whoa.
No one scored a better goal than him this week. It was incredible.
All right. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm not wearing the jersey for nothing.
Leo.
Yeah.
Showing their cards, AC Milan.
But did he get caught in the booby? Did he get caught in a booby trap?
Yes,
he don't know.
That's right.
He got caught in the booby trap.
I like that.
He fell for it. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Find out
if he can do it on the Champions League stage. Bang. And you know what I like? We've seen a weekend Napoli, and look, I'm not looking past Inter. I would never look past Inter. Inter is one of the strongest teams I've ever seen in my life. Inter,
they lost this week.
Inter cannot be looked past. But if someone were to look past them, it's interesting that to see that Napoli has its own weaknesses, as does AC Milan. So let's say Rafael Leão.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a little curveball at you guys.
What you got?
Hit it.
There's someone who has been wrongly assaulted this week. And I think Jubis
should
be Joan Wonder.
Wow. Crazy. We've never given Joan Wonder to a mascot.
You don't even know so if he's actually Portuguese.
Well, actually, I guess he hasn't done anything. He just got beat the crap beaten out of him.
He needs a pick. He needs
an honorary Joan Wonder for...
I'm not giving Joan Wonder to a victim.
Yeah. Oh! I'm sure we've done that in the past. I want to say Andre Vidigal on Marítimo.
Oh, good shout. Yes.
Two goals, won the game.
Where was the other one?
What?
He said two goals, won in the game.
Two goals to win the game.
Oh,
win
okay.
The game. He won the game.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Him, I could give it to Salvador Agra.
You won't switch to Jubis, because I'll switch to Vidigal.
I'm down to Jubis also.
No, we can go Vidigal.
Yeah, let's go Vidigal, because my other options were going to be Chiquinho for doing a little dance.
That'd be nice. But
danced.
Did he score a goal, though?
My other option was going to be Gonzalo Ramos.
Gonna dance on
my
that
other
to
option.
This DJ, gonna dance on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Vidigal?
Give it to Vidigal.
Yeah, Vidigal. Thanks once again for listening. Hit us up on the social at Portugal_Corner on Twitter, at Portugal Corner on Insta. You can email us at theportugalcorner@gmail.com. Please subscribe wherever you get the podcast. Take a minute to leave a rating and a review. Check out the old eps if you'd like. Final thoughts, inspirational messages, anything, guys?
It went long enough.
Reach for the stars, cowboy.
I'm just going to say RIP Jubis.
Jubis. He's still out there.
Peace out, guys. Stay safe out there.
How about good luck on the weekend? Let's not injure any of the players that we need.
Come on!
Come on, guys.
And we'll have a good Friday with a big old Classico.
Exactly.
We're going to have a good time.
Enjoy your Easter, the resurrection of Christ.
Go to church. Va pra missa.